You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I don't even need to hear from the audience to know that the audience does not like our Panther interviews. Hockey players tend to be pretty terrible.
Stop doing this.
God damn it. Stop doing this.
They've honestly been good.
You have to start every segment with negative feedback. It's not endearing. It's just white noise at this point.
Dan's kind of right.
Hey, you can go back to the Freedom Tower.
No, I think that we have drowned this show a little bit in the stuff that is our self-involvement, if that's okay. But I love the Panthers, and I love their stories, but the hockey guys have to be so careful with the media. It's annoying.
Yeah, name three Panther songs. Name three Panther songs.
Scotty Upshaw with us. Is there one about Carter Verhaeghe? Is there a song about him?
I turn my swag on. That's his goal song. Name three goal songs.
Ask Scotty Upshaw. Can you name three goal songs, Scotty Upshaw, the host
three
of the Missing Curfew podcast? He's with former NHL player Shane O'Brien, and he's not one of the boring hockey interview guys.
That's definitely right. Dan, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure. It's the second time, so thank you. Exciting times ahead. A lot of goal songs going to be played. Which ones? I don't know. It's like a walk-up tune. I used to go with like a Jay-Z, like... something to fire the guys up, but I don't know what they're playing down in Florida. I'm gonna find out this weekend though, because I'm coming in for some action. So
Blink 182 is what we play.
Now we do that. Did you know that we started the tradition of singing All the Small Things a cappella? That's ours now.
Okay,
that's us.
Well, take ownership of that, because Colorado used it last year. So Avalanche are jumping on the Panthers bandwagon.
Scotty, you played through some lean Florida Panther years. You know how this market kind of approached hockey. Can you just talk about how different playing in Sunrise was compared to the rest of the league?
I don't think people understand that.
Think people understand that NHL players can live pretty anonymously in Florida. Is that an appeal, even?
Well, it depends. It depends how hard it is to get from Miami early in the mornings up to Sunrise when you're down there enjoying the finer things in life. So it gets tricky. It gets tricky. The 95 gets a little clogged up, and the hangover is real. So it's difficult. It's difficult. But Florida, listen, I think South Florida is a great place to live, which is why you guys do your show there. I'm sure you guys are enjoying life. And hockey's a great sport, and the fans love it. And right now you're seeing all the fans come out, and they're kind of getting what they've always been there for. Why they always show up to these games in Sunrise is to hopefully see their team one day play for the Stanley Cup. And that's what they got around the corner. And I'm going to come in and check it out. I hope you guys are there too.
Can you put it historically in some sort of perspective for us, what it is for people who don't understand how absurd it is for seven games left in the regular season? They don't have a goaltender anyone trusts. There's no way they're going to do anything. And then you look up and they're smoking through the playoffs.
Dan, I look back at this run that the Florida Panthers are having, and it's hard to really duplicate it or find another, kind of Cinderella story of taking down, Goliath in the first round, down 3-1. I mean, we just saw it in basketball with the Heat and Celtics. I mean, coming back in a series is is extremely difficult, almost impossible. And what the Florida Panthers did to get into this, to get into the playoffs, that last like month stretch into, you know, taking down the big boys, record-setting Boston Bruins, to, you know, coming in and beating the Toronto Maple Leafs. And for, I'm sure you guys got some pretty loyal Canadian fans there. It is, that was a stinger, boy. South Florida beating, kicking Toronto Maple Leafs ass. And then it was. And then, you know, listen, these guys are running on a high. South Florida's fun right now, as you guys know. Like this time of year, things get pumping. You get F1, you get the Miami Heat on a roll. I mean, good things are happening there. And this is a Cinderella story in the making. I love what their team's all about. I love the way they play. I love them touching that trophy the other day. And they're just vibing, and you can't blame them for it.
Could you compare this to the Blues Cup run? Because the Blues in that season were dead last, and they ended up winning the Cup.
So just, yes, but that sort of adversity was a little different, if you ask me. It was, you know, that was come January, these guys got on a roll, and they, you know, they went into the playoffs on kind of a high. You know, the Florida Panthers needed teams to lose in the last couple of games to get in. Like they had Pittsburgh lose to Chicago. I know that because it stung. It was about -470 on the old on the old Vegas line, and that stung a lot of people. Not only Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins fans, but listen, they needed everything to fall in place, and now they're here, and they've deserved everything they've got. And four wins away from a Stanley Cup's a lot closer than I've ever got. So. You know, these boys are going to enjoy these next couple weeks.
How do you think the Panthers spent this last week? When you have a long layoff and you're trying to keep momentum going, are they doing like wacky stuff around the rink just to stay loose and stay tight?
I mean,
which one? You got to pick one. It can't be both.
Yeah. Well, which one is it? Staying loose mentally,
but staying tight as a group.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, wow. Good pivot. Good pivot there.
Jeez, boys. I don't know what you guys think goes on in a hockey dressing room there, but
smells. It is, many bad smells. One of the worst smelling places on earth.
That is. But now, but you got to give credit to the trainers now. They actually wash the gear. Back in the day when the kids or guys leave men's league hockey, that's disgusting. You get home with those hockey hands, and that's not perfect. But listen,
Do you ever shake the scent of hockey hands?
You cannot. Yeah. Ask your girlfriends that. It's not. It's that stench stays for a long, long time. It's not perfect. But you can't get away without being, you know, they'll call you out from, you know, 6 feet away because they know you play hockey with those. With that foul smell. But listen, these guys are pros, and I would say they've had a little bit of fun the last couple of weeks. They probably golfed, you know, this last week. They probably got out, you know, enjoyed time with their families. It's been a grind, and now they're back to work. I mean, they start tomorrow in Vegas. They're out there right now. They're probably setting up shop, getting ready for that first puck drop, and they know that this is going to be the time of their lives, and they got to kind of seize that moment and take advantage of it.
What was a post-game spot for you after a Panther game in Sunrise? Did you hit up the Oasis at Sawgrass Mills? Did you hit up a Flanagan's elbow room? Did you make the drive out there? Like, tell me, what was the plan?
Early nights, too, right? Yeah, last call is early all over there for hockey players.
It sure is. Sunrise wasn't much of a Scotty Upshaw spot to hang out, I tell you. I used to go there for the games, and that was about it. I would be convincing my teammates. I lived down in Fort Lauderdale. I lived on Las Olas, not too far from that Riverwalk.
American Social.
I used to go to the boys. That place was that was alive and well when I was there.
Tarpon Bend.
Tarpon Bend.
Do you have the Tarpon Bend chips still? You go through some old gym.
It's not Tarpon Bend anymore.
Some jeans.
No, it's closed.
No, it's
closed.
Like the only thing it's that's around there is Capone's.
Tarpon Bend.
The whole area is dead.
I used to go to Moderano's, Cafe Moderano's.
Oh, the nice meatball. Spot.
That's ridiculous. Wait, so people understand. You're going to a small Italian restaurant that has about 11 tables. The Sopranos is playing on all the cameras, on all the televisions.
And Steve is DJing.
And the chef is DJing. That's where you're going. That's in a strip mall.
You're damn right, Levy. That's exactly where we're going. And I'll tell you why, because all the Cougars were hanging out in there, and there was a nice wine list. And after the game, you go for a little chicken parm, and you know, you got the suit on, you're feeling pretty good, and why not go enjoy it with some of South Florida's finest?
Never a Flanagan's, huh? Never a rockin' rib roll.
You're hearing him? He's putting on a Flanagan's suit. Guy. He's putting on a suit to party.
Yeah, but a little green cup. Sometimes you want to just trash it up and get a green cup. Am I right, Scotty? Mm-hmm.
That would be late night. I know those places would stay open really late. So.
Yeah. Do you know there's only 2 hours at Flanagan's? It's not happy hour.
Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show, Juju. Did you know that there are only 2 hours at Flanagan's that are not happy hour? Kachuk, can you please explain to me whether you thought this was possible? That did anyone think this was possible where you're talking about a guy who, oh, wait a minute, all of a sudden, it feels like all of a sudden, best in the sport?
Well, second.
I know, but
yeah,
but you're
best American in the sport, which is pretty crazy.
You're not wrong. Best American in the sport, arguably best player in the playoffs, who doesn't wear goalie pads. What I will say about Matty Tkachuk is that he's always played with an edge. He's always been highly skilled, but relied more on his edge, like that you, that mentality that he was going to go out and beat you, whether it was in the corner or in front of the net. And then we had him on our podcast about a year ago when he got traded, and to see the excitement in his eyes and in his voice about this opportunity that laid ahead to build something cool in Florida. And he already believed back then that they had this team that could go on a run. So the confidence mixed with the skill, mixed with the drive and the way he plays, I mean, it's perfect. And it's a great thing to build a team around. And this kid, he's doing it, having fun. You know, you look at his dad, the way his dad played, his dad was a big body. Keith Tkachuk was a badass, hard to play against. Now you look at Matty and Brady, these two kids are having fun. They've been around hockey their whole lives. And, it would be pretty special to that family to have one of them hoist the cup. And it looks like Matty's just around the corner and could be the first one.
The Missing Curfew podcast, if you want more hockey information, if you want to get a little bit smarter on things, and if you want to know how to avoid losing the game where you're minus 475, can you please explain to me in a minute or less, players of your era and what it is that you mean to have that FU in you? I want to know who had the most FU in him.
Oh man, it's something that you can't teach, right? So you guys are professionals. You guys all have an edge on other broadcasters out there and other personalities. It's when you look across the table, whether you're playing poker against someone, you know you're going to beat them, or you're on the ice and you know there's 10 seconds left and you need to get that puck from this guy and score a goal. That's what the intangibles are. I look at guys that I played against, and you know, Patrice Bergeron is one. Like he would never lose a battle. He'd look at you and be like, I'm going to beat you. And then you look at like Steve Yzerman, for example, a guy I always looked up to. These guys were champions, but because they had this drive that they were going to never lose. And that's how you got to win the Stanley Cup these days. And that's how you got to be an elite player.
Scotty, thank you for being on with us. Out of just curiosity, I don't know how this works in hockey. We've got fewer than 30 seconds left. Will you be Scotty as a 90-year-old? Will people call you Scotty? It'll never become Scott?
No, it's not. Dan, no. My dad was Scott. I'm Scotty, and that's the way, that's what I'm sticking to it. And my little guy now will carry on the Scotty middle name. I gave it to him. So it's going to be Scotty at 90, boys. I hope you guys can, I hope you guys get a chance to hang out too with me and Obi. We'd love to have you guys.
Oh, dude, I'll be in
Vegas.
We're
going to be in South Florida next week. Boom. Let's go.
Let's go to Flanny's. Yeah.
Missing curfew. They'll be missing curfew. Roy, the juice and the squeeze.
Roy's
all right. Thank you, Scotty. Yes. Thank you, Scotty.
All seven games.
Thanks, fellas.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Could I interest any of you in an opportunity to make money? Yes. Where I buy some calling cards and I sell them to you. And then you get three friends. And then you're making money off the ones they sell.
I mean, I'm
Stugatz.
And he's tank Twitter.
The more friends, the more you make friends. I mean,
this is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I've been handed here a very formal certificate to sign. Hopefully, I could not hear. I could only see what Jessica and Tony were doing when they visited the Freedom Tower after Jessica forced us as a company and as a Cuban population in Miami to have a teaching moment, a little learning moment about what Cuban culture is.
If I may defend myself for one second, I did quickly glance at a black and white photo and say the wrong name, but it was an important learning moment, like you said. I'm glad that we did it because, Dan, I have one thing to say to you now. Libertad! Libertad!
Si! Si revenga! Yes, excellent.
Cuba si!
Yes, that's
Cuba
right.
Cuba si!
That's right.
Castro no!
I learned about the Freedom Tower. I learned about Operation Pedro Pan. I learned so many things from Tony, and I really appreciate the opportunity to learn from you guys because that's what I'm here for. I made a mistake and I was wrong.
We don't need apologies for this stuff. We are not a
this
canceling.
Is all I want from Witty on the Matthew Tkachuk front, yeah. Too.
Also C-sections.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Witty should apologize. He needs to apologize for telling Jessica about cesarean
sections. He did on air the next day, but
no, he can't apologize.
Still holding back on that Matthew Tkachuk capitulation.
I've noticed that, and all the Panther capitulation. But before I get to the certificate that they want me to sign, I have a couple of things to tell you about the merch store, because we've got now, do we finally have Acolytics or Analytics?
Acolytics is up there, and a shirt that is flying off shelves that don't actually exist. The Matthew Tkachuk, Jimmy Butler, Spider-Man meme shirt. It is taking over the country.
And
or at least the county.
How are the Udonis Haslem shirts selling? Because
don't have those Acolytics at my disposal right
okay.
now.
But a 3% chance the Heat had of winning the last series. It's better this time, correct? It's like an 11% chance this time.
11% chance, which is still really insulting to us.
Who came up with Acolytics, by the way? Was it Udonis or was it someone on the show? Because
that was my question.
That should be trademarked. That I think that's really going to actually take on.
Acolytics. Udonis.
Yeah. This is good stuff, video team. Do the DVD loading screen with Bill Simmons.
All right. So this is not great audio.
Come on.
Here we go.
God, it's beautiful. Let's go, Heat.
I need to explain to the audio audience that might not be watching
this
on video.
Or the social media audience that might not be watching us or listening to us.
I was interrupted, maybe this goes without saying, by video, our video team that has taken 3 days with the power going out to get me what I've wanted for 3 days, which is just that Bill Simmons picture so we could play with it. And finally, after Mike Ryan asked for that picture, it was supposed to just be on the screen small, and then Mike opened his hands and became magically giant, and then it started bouncing across the screen, and nobody had any control over the Bill Simmons picture anymore. And so the enthusiasm you just heard was the Bill Simmons photo ponging around the screen like an old game of 1970s Pong, which is what this show is starting to feel like video-wise, until it got to Mike Ryan's face, landed where it was supposed to, and finally, we got a video payoff.
I thought I was dated with a DVD screen reference. Pong.
You mean ping pong?
The original video game. Video game Pong.
Wow, that video team is getting really good.
Yes. So speaking of which, Mike, there's now video of Pablo Torre watching the weirdness that was that South Beach session with David Sampson, who we have a conflicted relationship with as a company. And that South Beach session was very popular, and it moved people and bothered people and made people call me a bully. Pablo is now watching it as Metalark therapist. He is sort of doing some of the translations on what that conversation was. And so people can get that, as they can get many things, I'm assuming, at our YouTube channel, but not the merch. They can't get the merch at the YouTube
channel.
They
can get the merch at lebatardaf.shop. Lebatardaf.shop is where you find. And if you want to get our YouTube page, if you saw us just go viral on Twitter or something like that, or are listening exclusively on pod, just do a Google, YouTube, Lebatard Show. It'll take you right to our page. Subscribe on that thing.
Tony, can you explain to me what this Certificado of Scholastic Achievement is that I am to proudly present to Jessica here?
Yeah, Dan, it was a learning experience for me teaching somebody our history, right? And Jessica being an excellent student and really learning everything, also in Spanish, because I did the entire thing in Spanish. I didn't think she was going to pick up on it, but she kept nodding her head and was like, oh, okay, she's really locked in here. I explained to her the bronze statue that we have out there of Pedro Pan. I explained how Freedom Tower is basically like Ellis Island for Cubans. There's a Cuban flag up top. We tried to break in a couple times. Very fortified place, by the way.
Oh, wait, it's not open.
Not open.
No,
tried to pry the door open.
The Freedom Tower is closed to the public and also almost became the place where Tony was going to get arrested because he did trespass. So it would have been
trespass is a heavy word. I was standing on something that
closed to the
not
public for now, though. It's got museum traits. I think DeSantis poured a bunch of money for repairs in there. That was originally a newspaper, and then it became it was originally a place where newspaper freedom was represented, and then Cuban freedom was represented. But so here it says on the certificate, I will sign this.
Thank you, Dan.
It says I am the chancellor of Metalark Media, which I am not.
Gracias.
But it says Anthony, he needs to sign it as well because he's the professor of Historia Cubanos.
Oh, beautiful. I'll go in there, Dan.
For completion of the walking tour of La Historia de Cubanos y Todo Mi Gente in downtown Miami, presented by Anthony Diez Diaz Caladio. This certificate supersedes all diplomas and certificates presently by any university, including Notre Dame and Clemson.
Yeah, can you sign that, please? Can you sign that? Was it signed?
I signed it.
It's signed. All right, Tony, can you sign that too?
Lo siento.
Yes. Congratulations, Jessica.
Diez Diaz is a great wrestling name if you ever want to get into pro wrestling.
10 days. Diez Diaz.
No, but Diez Diaz.
That's good shit.
Congratulations, Jessica. We're all very proud of you.
Yeah, very proud. Very proud. Hey, I've got a major scoop for you, Dan.
Well, Mike, you've been on this, okay? I've noticed the last couple of days that there are a whole lot of people. You've been on top of this messy story more than anybody in national or international media. All of your information has been correct. All of the big Woges of soccer everywhere around the world are following you, and then they change the story. They get parts of the story wrong. You have been
not just parts, Dan. Dan, a lot of reputable reporters have been very wrong on this. And we do have news on the Lionel Messi front. It's that PSG has announced themselves via their manager. Boy, they are salty about this right now. They have announced that Lionel Messi will not be returning to PSG. This is something that had been reported that was 90% done, 90% completed months ago, that this was an afterthought and he is no longer returning to PSG. So where does Lionel Messi go, Dan?
How the hell should I know where Lionel Messi is going to go? You keep telling me that he's going to be choosing. That Miami is a legitimate choice, and that Miami continues to be continually confident in a way that people aren't believing. They can't believe it. And Tab Ramos that came out yesterday and said, "Hey, Miami's a real thing."
Yeah, like, Miami has always been a real thing, and I don't know why Fabrizio refuses to even acknowledge them. Here is the very latest on the Lionel Messi front. There have been reports out there that suggest that Lionel Messi will be deciding soon. I can tell you that that is the case.
Wow.
People in Inter Miami are expecting a decision very, very soon. I'm talking about in the coming days. We will finally have an end to the Lionel Messi transfer saga. Where he'll choose, I don't know. I know that Barcelona has been out there in the mix, but Barcelona does a really good job of hijacking the media and getting them to push this agenda so they don't actually have to take the blame for financial fair play regulations and just put it on La Liga. Look, we tried to get Lionel Messi, but they wouldn't allow us to. So that's usually how Barcelona plays this game. There are reports out there that Barcelona is trying to team up with Inter Miami and have an agreement in which Barcelona would get Lionel Messi loaned in. I haven't heard anything about that. All I know is that communication between Lionel Messi and Inter Miami has been very regular and very recent, and they're expecting a decision in the coming days. Whether it'll be Saudi Arabia that Lionel Messi chooses, whether it'll be Inter Miami that Lionel chooses, I don't know. But what is interesting here is that the Saudi Arabian season just wrapped up. The European season just wrapped up. The MLS season is ongoing. Why is Inter Miami being told that a decision is coming now, when Lionel Messi could prolong this a little bit throughout the summer, lead up a little bit closer to the seasons of the Saudi Arabian League and Europe? Something to keep an eye on there. I'm not going to make a prediction, but what I can tell you with 100% certainty is Inter Miami is one of a few clubs that is very much alive in this and is a part of this decision that is coming soon.
And what I would say to you is that it would make sense if Lionel Messi and his management team were doing the economics of this last part of our career with all the leverage from the very top. We've done everything. There's nothing left to accomplish. Do we cash in and just grab all of the money, all of the Saudi money, or do we go equity with partners like Apple and MLS and build something giant?
Adidas and Apple, they certainly want Lionel Messi over here. I think the decision isn't that he's going to end his career over in Saudi Arabia. I don't think that that's going to happen. The scenarios that they're playing with right now that Inter Miami's been preparing for is he comes here immediately, or it's a year in Saudi Arabia and then he comes here. I think it's best for the game if, obviously, here in the States, that it happens now. But what you might be looking at here in the national landscape of a sports town that many people don't think deserve it is you'll have the hockey team in the finals, you'd have the NBA team in the finals, and potentially in the middle of all of that, Lionel Messi will be making a decision, and he could be picking South Florida as well.
You'd be nuts, though, to think that this person isn't thinking the way Brady and LeBron do about brand management and hundreds of millions of dollars.
That being said, like $1 billion is hard to turn down.
I know, but they can get it anywhere in a lot of different ways and build equity. These guys are about to start competing in the ownership markets.
Like, and the most equity he would get is if he does a deal right now, because the valuation will go up on Inter Miami the second shovels go into the ground.
These stars understand that they want to own things. They don't want to be employees anymore. They don't want to be renters. They want to own.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me. I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
So, like, there was a time that, and I'll tell you who this person is that I admired, and I said, that'd be a great career for me. Ryan Seacrest.
Stugatz.
And then to take it a step further, you know, just a couple weeks ago, James Corden was stepping down and said, you know who'd be a great replacement for him? Me. I could do that. I could replace James Corden,
right? I actually agree with you on that.
If I don't have to move to LA and I could just do this somewhere near in the Tamiami area, like they have an old, you know, theater that's kind of abandoned right now, maybe we do something there. I mean, people like to come
to
Miami,
abandoned,
right?
Kmart into your Late Late Show
yes,
studio.
Yes, I didn't even think about that. Wow, that's a theater right there.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Are you good?
Hey, Mike.
I'm great.
Yeah?
Couldn't be better. You top my game.
I've been worried about you.
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
Have you been? Oh, that's so kind of you.
Oh,
well, you just got a lot going on right now with the writer's strike, and there's something else that I can't really put my finger on. But You good?
The podcast. I think it's the
podcast.
He's busy with the podcast.
Everything good with the podcast?
I am very
pause the podcast.
Right, that was my type of joke, Tony.
Were we rolling on that?
No. Unfortunately for Tony, he won't have to suffer that indignity.
Red Sox lost last night.
Red Sox are struggling, I heard. Are you okay? The Red Sox have been struggling.
Mac Jones is looking good,
though.
The
Red Sox have been, yes. That's a good observation about Boston sports.
Yeah, there are. Hey, the Revs are playing well. Yeah. Bruce Arena's turned things around over there. You have Heal. Heal's been a really good player for you guys.
Juju Smith-Schuster coming up?
Yeah. Well, we'll kick it over to Dan, but, you know, just checking in.
Can I just say that your genuine concern for my health and happiness is heartwarming.
Yeah. No, I'm just...
It's radiating off of you how genuine this is.
Mm-hmm. Anything new?
Anything new in your life?
Really focused on that.
Mike, sure. Where have you been? We've all been wondering where you've been, and I've missed you a great deal. You're a Metalark employee. You are a daily employee. You're working harder than just about anybody. There's been a writer's strike, and I've missed you. I imagine right now you look radiant. You look like somebody.
Considering.
No, he looks like somebody who is healthy. Where have you been? And you don't look as miserable as I thought you would look.
I'm not miserable. I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I've been busy. I've been walking in circles with my brethren to strike the companies that pay us in the name of equal pay, good pay, and future jobs for our industry. I've obviously had, as you well know, it's been a rough time for me personally in terms of my sports fandom. I don't know. What do you want me to say? Let's just take care of this right off the top. It sucked, okay? That's the answer you're looking for. It sucked. It was a bad way for the season to end. A team loses game 7 at home. That sucks. There were very high expectations. I think the roster was deeper and in many ways better than the team they were playing. As you have all pointed out, it has been actually a long time since my team has won anything. And so to get all the way to game 7 and then lose like that, yeah, on your home court, it sucked. I'm not going to lie. But here's the thing, and here's why maybe you sense some optimism or happiness or radiance for me, is because everyone's talking about like what happens in the offseason. I'll tell you what happens. You run it back. That's what happens. This roster is great, and I think next year, De'Aaron Fox might take a leap. I think Keegan Murray has a season under his belt. Mike Brown has settled in. I am genuinely excited for next year, and next year, I guarantee we're lighting the beam. We're going all the way.
It was such a heartbreaking way to lose at the end, though, to be...
I know, it totally was. And look, I thought we had Golden State. I thought we had them. Like, we won the first two games at home. And it was like, oh, they're going to do it. They're going to overcome. They're going to climb this mountain. And then, look, they're Warriors are champions for a reason. And so they came back and won. What are you going to do? And it sucked. But I'm very optimistic for next year. And I think they're going to do it next year. So I call this a guarantee right now. My team, my beloved team, my Sacramento Kings, next year NBA champions.
Yeah, and they got your hopes up with that electric game 6. And
yeah.
It's got to be tough.
Yes, I know. And it sucked. What do you want me to say? It was a tough blow. But on behalf of everybody, Juju and everybody else in Kings Nation, guarantee right now. Guarantee.
You win game 6, though, on the road when everybody was preparing to doubt you. Everybody was ready to say that that's not a game you can win against something that feels like championship confidence and metal.
Yeah, I know. No one believed in us. That's the thing. And by the way, I was the one who was saying the whole time, I was like, look, we can't take this team for granted. They may not have had the best road record in the NBA this year. They may not look like it much, but when it comes to the playoffs, you know how tough they are in the playoffs, and I unfortunately was right. So, you know, look, it's again, tough blow. I don't really have any there's no light at the end of the tunnel this year.
You were so confident, though. You were so confident going into Game 7.
For good reason. For very good reason. I was confident because I had watched the team all year, and I knew what they were capable of. And, yeah, I was confident, and I truly believe they were going to get it done, and they didn't get it done. What are you going to do? It's sports, man. You know what? That's, in a weird way, Dan, that's what makes sports great, isn't it?
Your pain? Yeah.
Mike. Yes. Mike.
By the way, whoever's controlling the Simmons is very quick on the draw.
Tis I! Caleb Martin! You let Caleb Martin outplay Jaylen Brown? Do not, because Dan's done it plenty. Do not mention Jason Tatum's ankle. I beg you.
I didn't. You did.
Yeah.
Here's how we're going to do this. Every time you say something like this, I have called up a random number generator on my phone, and I've entered the numbers 1 in 200 because the Heat had a 1 in 200 chance of getting Wembanyama, and Tony and Mike thought that the Heat should tank the play-in game in order to get Wembanyama. So every time you say something annoying, I'm going to simulate an NBA draft and see if you guys got Wembanyama as Mike and Tony wanted them to. So here we go. Oh, and the way we'll do this is if it lands on 16, which is Caleb Martin's uniform number, you guys get Wembanyama. So here we go.
Okay, here
Random
we go.
Number. Nope. Nope, you didn't get Wembanyama. Sorry.
That's fine. You can.
Yeah, you had several days to cope with this.
You can
but
talk
please,
trash.
Put me there after Derek White hits the buzzer beater. Everything that you believed about the Miami Heat season and them being the boogeyman had to have come to an end right then and there, and you thought you were doing it.
You didn't get Wembanyama. What do you think? What do you mean put you there? I was thrilled. That was an all-time playoff win. Yeah. It was incredible.
How many texts from Michael Malley?
The series to Game 7. What's that?
How many texts from Michael Malley?
111. You didn't get Wembanyama.
Can you read us one of your group texts with Celtics fans after game six?
No. Please? My pain is not for your
can you do it slowly?
Like exploitative purposes. No, I'm not going to do that.
Just send me a screen cap. You can cross out the name.
41. Oh. You didn't get Wembanyama again. I'm not going to exploit my pain and my friend's pain for your happiness. And also, for the millionth time, the only person at Meadowlark Media who believed in your team was me. You can't do this to me. You can do it to anyone else you want. Do it to any other Celtics fan you want. Well, you cannot do it to me. I'm the only one who told you.
How many F-words did Christopher Mintz-Plasse text, please? Just tell
me. It wasn't 37, which is the number that I just got on my random number generator, which means you didn't get Wembanyama.
You keep doing it, and you keep telling us all the times we didn't get Wembanyama, and I will keep asking you questions because I was very happy for you after Game 6. Weirdly, I was happy for you because I was surprised that one hit me and hurt. I was legitimately surprised that I felt hurt. And if there was one shining thing, it was, well, Mike gets to have an all-time moment. And now that all-time moment, though, is forgotten forever.
And now Mike does have an all-time sports moment.
190. You didn't get Wembanyama. Here's the thing. That moment it wasn't worth the loss, certainly. It didn't even come close to making up for it. But a lot of things were going on in that game that no one is talking about. First of all, Caleb Martin was the MVP of the series. Everybody knows it. The fact that they gave it to Jimmy Butler is absurd. Butler was pretty bad in Game 5. He straight up sucked in Game 6. He scored 10 or 11 or 12 points or whatever in the last few minutes.
Was that your observation or Dane Cook's? Just tell me.
22, you didn't get Wembanyama.
Was it Eliza Dushku's?
134, you didn't get Wembanyama. The fact that they gave him that series, you have racked up
$70 in fines pronouncing his name incorrectly, by the way. You owe us $70.
How do you pronounce John Krasinski? Did I get it right? What were his
92.
Thoughts?
You didn't get him. Butler was bad in Game 6. With a chance to close out that series at home, he was straight up bad. He was 5 for 21 from the field.
Any crying face emojis from Maria Menounos?
172. You didn't get him. The fact that they gave it to Butler was just pure, like, narrative stuff, and it sucked. If I were Caleb Martin, I'd be furious.
Did Donnie Wahlberg leave the chat?
107. You didn't get him. I think that the Butler narrative now has gone from no one respects him enough to people respect him too much. He was not the best player in that series. They don't win that series without Caleb Martin. Bam was good defensively and terrible offensively, like straight up terrible offensively. And I am now at the point where after screaming about the Heat all year and telling everyone, including you, a bunch of Jamoke Heat fans who have no faith in your own team, how good they were and how likely they were to do exactly what they've done, I now have flipped and I feel like the Nuggets are going to win this series because I don't think the I just don't think the Heat, the Celtics figured out Butler.
Way to go out on a limb. What was the voice note from Michael Chiklis? Can you play it for me?
Oh, yeah. Can we have 61. Anything? Mike, are you going to give us anything? Because the misery of the banner we're hanging, we've already won, no matter what happens with the Nuggets.
Yeah.
We just get to have Boston not have their moment. And we're basically, as a franchise, Cody Zeller. We're just getting in your way, and hooray. I feel like the victory is already the victory. Everything after this is gravy. And you broken is basically a giant win for us, but it's got to be confusing to you to be so right about sports, and it stinks that you're so very right about this, more right than anyone nationally. You can't even enjoy the ego of being right.
It's not confusing. Like I honestly, I know you're not going to believe me. The pain I felt wasn't sharp. It was like a dull ache. It was like a dull sadness because I, again, knew what was going to happen. I saw it coming the whole time. I didn't have any confidence at all, even after winning game 6 and going home for game 7, in part because these two teams in the last couple playoff series they've had, the away team wins every game. Like the Celtics are like 11-12 at home in the playoffs in the last couple of years or whatever it is. And specifically last year, as you may remember, the last three games were won by the road team, I think. So, like, I wasn't walking around confident at all going into Game 7. I assumed that the Heat were going to win, so it wasn't like I didn't feel let down. I just felt like, yeah, this is kind of the sad outcome that I knew was going to happen.
I don't believe you for a second. Did Bill Burr text "fuck" with a bunch of A's?
I just did 4 simulations and you didn't get them.
See you later, Mike. We love you.
Do you?
Not after you doubted our Heat in the NBA Finals. How dare you?
I love you, and the only thing in the world that I love more than you is your pain.
You just got Wembanyama.
Yeah!
We did it.
It's all coming up roses.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.